Welcome to Into the Music, brought to you by Jasper Guitar Company in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Into the Music. We are delighted to have John Melzer with us. And if you didn't hear part one of our interview, I encourage you to listen to that first. John is 100 years old. He's a jazz and blues pianist, and boy, is he good. And as well as that, he's got a great story. So, John, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine today.
Good. Good to hear. Well, on the previous episode, we talked about your childhood and your piano playing up through about 1952, where you had to kind of dial things back. In the 6 years following World War II, you studied classical piano and you played with several bands as well. How was music and the role of the pianist from the time that you started up until 1952 when you had to stop your career? How did things change for you as a pianist?
I would have to say I improvised more. And that was the change that I had as far as the music is concerned. As far as the music itself, as everybody knows, I felt and I still feel, most of the changes have come from the black people. So you had the, in the beginning, you had the blues and you had the ragtime, and then you had more or less jazz, and after jazz, the jazz changed a lot. However, they were still singing love songs. Now, after that, when the 60s or whatever, I believe you got the war, the Vietnam War, and you had all these anti-war songs, so that changed. And, of course, from there, each generation has their own heroes or whatever in the music world. But mine were more or less like Louis Armstrong. Oh, I just loved that guy. Mm-hmm. He was wonderful. And some of the singers were Bing Crosby. I think a lot of people never heard of him, but he was one of the stars in the 30s. So it all changed when it comes to singing, it comes to playing. The types of music did change gradually.
Now, toward the end of our last episode, you talked a little bit about giving lessons to your own children, to your grandchildren, and now you're teaching your great-grandchildren via Zoom and online. What's the most gratifying part of handing down your musical legacy?
Well, the part that, of course, I like the most is if they stick with it. Well, you know, if you have a bunch of kids, take 10 children, you're not going to get 10 children continuing to play a musical instrument the rest of their life. However, in my case, the two that came out and are still playing are Daryl, my son, and Michael, his son, who is now lives in Spain. And the both of them, Daryl plays yet, and Michael actually not only makes records, but he also makes up some music. So I'm very proud of that. And I can tell you, too, in the pupils I had, then again, I don't know what happened to most of them, but I do know that one of them played for a local band which was second in Milwaukee. I think it was Jerry. It's a little bit long ago. I can't remember his name. It was Jerry something, the band. But so that was gratifying. And then I heard that some of the pupils, they really kept it up. I had one that was lived next door to me, and they told me he kept playing. So that's very gratifying. But it was fun to teach him. And I did have some where I can remember, which was the other way around. Some of them came to me with a five-year-old or six, and then I tried giving lessons, and I had to tell the lady, I said, I don't think has an ear at all. In other words, he can't tell when he makes a mistake. Mm-hmm. That's not good. It's very difficult to play an instrument and not know if you make a mistake, because you can never correct it if you don't know you had it.
Right.
So I had to tell her that, no, I wouldn't. Some people might have taken the child, but I wanted to try to be as honest as I could about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the other end of it, that not always happy.
Right.
Yeah, but I was very, very satisfied that the ones that did continue did. Okay. It was, that's fun.
Sure. Now, after you raised your family, mm-hmm. and you spent some years in your business pursuits, you came back to playing in a band called Command Performance. And you played popular music, and Command Performance played into the 1990s, Okay. Tell us about the songs that Command Performance played.
Well, first of all, we were all dressed in Army uniforms.
Okay.
And most of us was the Air Force. That's what I was in. And we played all the old pieces from World War II era. So maybe something like Over the Rainbow or stuff like older stuff.
Right.
I'll Be Seeing You, Sad Songs from the War. I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, The White Cliffs of Dover. I don't know if you heard that one. Mm-hmm. Yes. And Lily Marlene.
Okay.
Never heard that. Yeah. Stuff like that. And it was a lot of fun to go back. And, of course,
I'm sure.
We played a lot of Glenn Miller. In fact, they took his theme song as theirs, too. A couple of the bands I played in used his theme song.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you think much changed playing in Command Performance as compared to when you were playing in bands in the 40s? And
exactly the same.
Exactly.
No different. You know, we sounded the same. And we were playing the World War II music era. Yeah, same thing.
Nice. Yeah. Well, right now, we're going to listen to you play again. And this is a four-note exercise that you're playing on jazz organ.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take a listen to that, and then we'll come back.
This piece that I'm going to play is not a piece. I'm going to take four notes, in this case, C minor, sixth. So the notes are C, E flat, G, and A. And I'm just going to play around. And this is going to be both blues and a little jazzy. Okay? Thank you.
Now, over the years, you've played on some pretty prominent pianos, including Frank Lloyd Wright's piano in Arizona and Harry Truman's in Key West, Florida. Are there any other ones that come to mind that
would you ask that? There's a couple. We were over in Germany, and we were at a small hotel. I can't remember the town because it's not like a Munich or something. But in this small town, they had a great big piano selection. I'll bet there was 50 pianos there. Well, I went around. Nobody bothered you. So I just went around and played a little bit on almost all of them. And that was fun. The other time that I can remember was a lot of fun. Was in England, in London. Most people have heard of Harrods, the department store. Well, they had a great, big, beautiful piano. And, of course, most of those pianos are made for concerts. So I didn't know if they was allowed to play on it. So I asked permission. They said, go ahead. So I played St. Louis Blues on that piano. Oh, it was the best piano I ever played in my whole life, in barring none. And it was, I think, made in Germany or Austria. I don't know, I can't remember the name, Birkenshagen or something, but it was just beautiful. Another piano that I played on was the Yamaha, their best piano, $150,000, and that was in Milwaukee. And I was looking, I had heard about electric piano that was supposed to sound exactly like a concert piano, and I thought I'd go and look at it. Well, when I was there, I sat down and played it, and then the guy says, well, I think I could use you to play a piano for people to listen to. But anyway, that was a beautiful piano, too. But not quite as good as the one in England. So that was the best piano I ever played on, that one.
That sounds so neat. Now, your favorite music genres are blues and jazz. Who are some of the players that you've admired over the years, some of the blues and jazz pianists?
Well, Duke Ellington, of course. Mm-hmm. But not only did he play, but he composed a lot of beautiful standards, you know, Satin Doll and all kinds of stuff.
Take the A Train.
Yeah. And, Count Basie.
Okay.
Now, Count Basie, I'll tell you a little story about that. First of all, I did see him play. Oh, and by the way, I was from here to there with Duke Ellington, and I felt so sorry for him because he played at the Summerfest, and I was standing right below. All these other bands are drowning him out, and I just felt that I think he died about 2 years after I saw him. He was in the, what do they call it, twilight of your life?
Mm-hmm.
But he was really good. Oscar Peterson, as far as the pianist, was probably the most unusual and one of the best. If you get into the other instruments I mentioned,
Louis Armstrong?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Louis Armstrong.
Is there a particular artist that you recall seeing perform that stands out to you other than Duke Ellington?
Well, I guess I'd have to put Louis Armstrong and him in the same bailiwick there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, John, is there anything else that you want to leave us with today?
Well, I would say that anybody listening that hasn't played an instrument or has a child, to encourage them, not demand them. Because when you demand, they probably won't take it. But if you can encourage your child or even yourself to look into music, because when you play, you get feeling that you never had before. I'm telling you, you really do. And I guess that would be about it.
And I gotta say, you come across to me as one of the happiest people that I've ever met. And I gotta believe that music in your life has contributed to that.
Well, I have to agree with you. Thank you.
John, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us these last two shows, and it means a lot. You have our deepest gratitude, not only for doing this, but for what you've done in the world of music and in the course of your life.
So, thank you.
You bet. You've been listening to Into the Music. It's a presentation of Jasper Guitar Company in Green Bay. Check us out at jasperguitarcompany.com, as well as on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and odyssey.com. If you would like to contact us, please write us at podcast@jasperguitarcompany.com. We'll see you next time we get into the music. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Into the Music, brought to you by Jasper Guitar Company in Green Bay, Wisconsin. See you next time.
Geez, that was painless.